Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging, or as I like to call it, the senior survival guide on the issues of aging and long-term care and nursing homes and who's going to kick me out and who's not going to kick me out and what about the waiver program and what about money and how do we take care of ourselves and how do we pay for it? And all the things that impact us and our families as we get older. You know, I'm welcome to the show. I'll get you to all the introductions and stuff in a minute. I was reviewing the chapters from my book, and one of the things that I'm putting in my book, and it's almost done, but I wanted it to be really useful, was I put a whole section at the end of the book called Cleaning Out the Basement, which are short little vignettes, as it were, of different subjects. And I was reminded as I did it that there's just a lot to talk about here. And I'm going to keep talking about it as long as I can, despite the pressures to not have me do this. There are lots of them, folks. I wish I could tell you. There is an industrial compact. One of the little chapters in my book is the elder care industrial complex, and I'll talk more about that as the weeks go on and as the book comes out. And it should be out soon. We're in the editing process. I wanted it to be useful. I didn't just want to put something out so I could say I had a book. So anyhow, good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Remember, and everything I'm about to tell you is because of some stupid regulation that says I have to tell you all this stuff, even after 18 years of doing this on KFBK. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult with an attorney. Preferably one that knows what they're doing, and there's a lot of them who don't. So everything we talk about here is my opinion only, and it's not intended to be as any form of legal or tax advice. In fact, I am not a tax expert. I have a California insurance license. I have to tell you that. I don't know why, because somebody wrote a regulation that says I have to tell you that. I have a California legal document assistant license, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request. In fact, there's an entire association of folks like me called the California Association of Legal Document Assistants. They're a good organization. I am not securities licensed. I don't want to be because I gotta tell you the truth. I have a notary. I'm not real estate licensed. I don't sell reverse mortgages. I don't sell long-term care insurance. I can operate a calculator. And I know how to plug in a speaker. There's probably something else I left off in there, but you get the point. The list is long. So we're glad to have you with us. If you have any questions, you can always get a hold of me. And there's lots of ways to get information on the issues of aging. The simple way is go to my website, assetsandaging.com, 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 and there you will find all kinds of information. You will find information on my upcoming workshops. I have them at least once a month. Sometimes I do two a month. If you've never been to one of my workshops, you've never been to a workshop. It's like nothing you've ever been to, I will guarantee you. Can't guarantee you much in life, but my workshop is not like any other workshop on all the baloney you've been to, the trust workshops, the annuity workshops, the elder workshops. You won't run into anything like mine. First of all, I'm going to tell you what aging really is. I'm going to tell you about the pitfalls, the things you need to look for, and the things you need to be prepared for. I am not always going to have all the answers because everybody's different. But if you've never been to one of my workshops, you're missing out because they're really different and unique. So Get to my website, assetsandaging.com, and sign up for a workshop. You can always also call me. If you don't have the internet, you can call me and sign up for one of my workshops. My 800 number, yes, I'm in Sacramento, but I have an 800 number, is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. While you're on my website, you can also send me an email question or ask me about something. You can also listen to my archived radio shows and podcasts every Wednesday at noon. I do on my webpage, I do a podcast. The podcast I just finished this week is called Accumulation Versus Retention. You have to go listen to the podcast to understand that. But you can go to my website and listen to my archived radio shows and podcasts, get links. I have some special guests lined up for the remainder of the year I think you're going to love. I'm working on a very special guest, and I hope I can get him. He doesn't live in the Sacramento area, and we're trying to figure out the logistics of getting him on the air. But if I get him on the air, you are not going to want to miss it. Nobody in California knows more about elder issues than this person. And we're working on actually doing maybe a workshop together. So you will want to be a part of that. So lots of places to get information. If you're dealing with an elder, if you're dealing with a family member who's beginning to fail, all of those kinds of things, then you have to listen. Okay, again, if you when in doubt, go to my website, assetsandaging.com, or call me at 800-999-8007. This is kind of an eclectic show. I have a lot of different things I want to talk about, but one of the first things I want to talk about is, and I always try to relate what I do to real situations. To real situations, to people in crisis, to people who can't figure out what they're doing or how to do it, to people who have been to 27 different places and still don't have the answers. And one of the reasons they don't have the answers is no one will tell them the truth of their situation. So I talked to someone yesterday, or maybe the day before, I don't remember. Time flies. But I talked to this person, and this person is taking care of a spouse. And the spouse has two debilitating diseases. One of them dementia, and the other one a neurodegenerative disease. And they're both older. And the well spouse, I could tell talking on the phone, is just exhausted. Just exhausted. And as we talked, it became clearer and clearer and clearer that they were not going to be able to take, that the well spouse was not going to be, I'm going to use the Medi-Cal term, community spouse, institutionalized spouse. The community spouse is the well spouse, the institutionalized spouse is the ill spouse. So I may refer to those, even though this person isn't institutionalized yet, I'll get you familiar with the jargon. So the community spouse, the well spouse, is just fried. Now, there's children involved. Now, I wish I could tell you this is the first time I've seen this, but it's not, and it won't be the last time. In fact, I see it every week. It's a subject nobody wants to deal with. I'll deal with it, because I live in the real world. I don't live in fantasy land where somebody's going to wave their magic fairy wand full of long-term care fairy dust and all of these issues are going to go away. They don't go away. They're going to get worse. And there are kids involved. And of course, the well spouse, we started talking about a nursing home, and the well spouse said, I can't do that. My kids won't let me do that. And I stopped and I said, what do your kids have to do with it? Are they taking care of the parent, the ill spouse? Well, no. Do they come up and tell you to go on vacation for 2 weeks and they'll take the ill spouse into their home and take care of that person? Well, no. Have you ever just called them up and said, hey, I'm sending your parent to you for a month. I need a break. No. But yet they're going to pass on all their guilt over all of this to you. And the way they assuage their guilt is by telling you that you can't put their parent in a, you as the spouse can't put their parent in a nursing home because it would interfere with their. And I said, why don't they come? Why won't they take care of their parent? Well, because they say they have jobs they have to go. Well, so? Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. The kids can't be involved because they have jobs, but it's okay if they sacrifice mom or dad. Stop and think about that for a minute. One of the biggest hurdles I have to get over is the children being realistic about what their well parent is going through, trying to take care of that. You, if unless you've done it for 24 hours a day, folks, for about a year, you cannot understand the stress of all of that. And I'm telling you today, it has nothing to do with love. It doesn't have anything to do with mom doesn't love dad or dad doesn't love mom. It has to do with an illness. And the illness is killing the well spouse. Wait a minute, Bob, I thought it was weird. I know. But the illness is, when I talked to the well spouse the other day, they were just exhausted. They were just at their wit's end. They just can't deal with it anymore. Now, so is this an unusual? No, it happens every day. You talk to elder law attorneys, they will see it every day. The reason the ill spouse, and by the way, the ill spouse in this case really needs to be at a nursing home. They really need to be in a nursing home. But the reason the well spouse can't pull that trigger is because the children can't deal with it. But they're not willing to participate in the care. They don't show up and take the ill spouse to their house for a week or for 2 weeks or for 3 weeks. They're not willing to be responsible for the ill spouse so that the well spouse can get a break, because it inconveniences their life, but they have no problem whatsoever letting the well spouse know that they don't want them putting their parent, the ill spouse, their parent in a nursing home. It is commonplace, and it destroys. Remember, in 1/3 of the cases, the well spouse dies first, and quite often it's from the stress of taking care of the ill spouse. Now, in this case, I'm talking about a nursing home, but maybe where the ill spouse needs to be is in a boarding care or assisted living, or maybe the family needs to chip in to help help hire a caregiver so that the well spouse can get out of the house once in a while. If the children are working and making an income, why can't they help out financially with getting the ill spouse into a place so that the well spouse can get a break? Maybe respite care, maybe weekend care, maybe whatever it is. But it's a really, 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 really large issue. And families, some of you who are listening to me right now know exactly what I'm talking about. Children, you need to understand what your mom or your dad is going through trying to take care of the other one. And in some cases, dad is deceased and mom needs care, and it's usually a daughter. One of the daughters is trying to take care of mom, and the other three children are absent because it's just too big a deal for them. Their guilt levels can't handle that. If you've never been around someone who's really ill and really demented for a long period of time, 24 hours a day, it is the hardest thing you will ever do in your life. Now, you haven't ever heard this from any place else. You've never heard this from going to a seminar. You've never heard this anywhere. But it's at the root of all long-term care. One of the chapters in my book, it's actually in the cleaning out the basement, which are the little mini chapters, is is going to be family conferences, holding a family conference to talk about this. I facilitate family conferences all the time. It's a situation one has to be real about. One has to accept the fact. For instance, Dad could die. Mom could die. You know, we're planning on one set of things, and all of a sudden, the ill spouse dies. Let's do that. And all of a sudden, the well spouse is upset and is angry. And all of a sudden, the well spouse's income goes down because we lost a Social Security check. And we may be losing. And the family is all sitting there going, oh, we feel so sad. Not understanding, in many cases, when Dad, the spouse dies, and Mom is left alone, her income goes down by an average of 40%. And there may be a mortgage, and the property taxes still go on, and the car insurance still goes on, and the electric bill still goes on, and travel still goes on, and maintenance and repairs still go on, and a new roof has to go on, and we've got 40% less income to do it. Ever heard that at a workshop? How do we deal with those issues? How do we deal with the real issues that confront us when we're dealing with long-term care? If Dad has dementia or is ill and Mom drops dead, who's going to take care of Dad? Have you had that discussion as a family? You haven't? Why? Why not? You have to have that discussion as a family because everybody's looking to Mom or Dad to take care of the other spouse. Well, what happens when Mom drops dead or Dad drops dead? Who takes care of the ill spouse? Who takes care of Dad who's ill? Who takes care of Mom? Because everybody was counting on the spouse to do that. The children didn't want to get involved. Parents, you're just as guilty because sometimes you shut your children out of the caregiving process. Well, Bob, I don't want to be a burden on my children. Sure you do. I put my kids through college. I spent a lot of money on them. My goal is to be a burden on them when I get older. But I have to give them the tools so that they can take care of me or take care of my spouse or take care of a loved one. You have to include them in the conversation. You have to be honest with them about where you are physically and mentally or where Dad is or where Mom is and give them a chance to participate. And then give them the authority to deal with what's going to happen down the road if you can't do it. See, lots of people talk about trusts and wills in terms of what happens when I die. But in my world, dying is easy. If somebody dies, everybody feels bad and life goes on. But what about living issues? What about frailty issues? What about incapacity or incompetence issues? All of those things are what's really important when it comes to long-term care. Understanding one of the chapters in my book is determining the proper level of care. Let me just read you these are not finalized yet, folks, but let me read you some of the titles to the mini chapters. There are going to be four major chapters and then a bunch of mini chapters, which I'm going to call cleaning out the basement. But one of the chapters is age, the unrelenting enemy. The second one is holding a family conference. Third one is documents, who's in control. Four is assessing the care needs of an aging loved one. These are all the things that need to be done. The pros and cons of annuities. Believe me, you're going to want, it's not what you think. You've heard a lot of stuff, but you very rarely have heard the truth. You've heard people who are real pro, and you've heard from other organizations that sue every insurance agent on the planet who sells annuities. Yes, there are. Medi-Cal recovery. The questions of in-home caregiving. Medicare versus Medi-Cal. Sundowning. Recognizing a stroke. Identifying mental decline. Preparing for long-term care, types of dementia, life care contracts, a very important little discussion. Finding quality care facilities, the plight of the caregiver. Asset management, accumulation versus retention, which is the subject of this week's podcast. The average nursing home stay, the reality of elder abuse, the VA, admission versus observation, know your rights in care facilities, the elder care industrial complex, and protecting IRA, gifting, death taxes, new regulations, and applying for Medi-Cal. There's all kinds of stuff that as part of the matrix of planning for long-term care, people need to get involved in. And at the core of all of it is information. Do you have the information you're going to need to make all those decisions? Do your children have the information they're going to need when it comes time for them to take care of you? All of it is real. Every single person listening to me today has known somebody in a nursing home. Every single person listening to me today has known someone with dementia. Every single person listening to me has known someone who is frail as they get older. Every single person in every single family. But we have this concept of if we just don't do anything, if we stick our head in the sands, it will all go away. No, it doesn't. It gets worse. And then we're totally unprepared to deal with it when it comes. If you don't have a family, you're even more vulnerable. Well, Bob, I've never been married. I don't have any kids. My brothers and sisters are all 90 years old. I don't know what to do. Well, you better figure out what your options are, because otherwise you're going to wind up with the county taking care of you when you can't take care of yourself. All of these issues, if you're in the LGBT community, there are all kinds of separate issues here. It's real. And these are the kinds of things I talk about at my workshops and when people come in to see me. These are the questions we deal with. I don't deal with what your rate of return. I don't deal with which mutual fund are you in. I deal with the real issues that are going to impact people. I deal with what things really say and what they really allow people to do and what they don't really allow people to do. I have a lot of conversations every week with elder law attorneys that I respect, and we share ideas, and I go to places where we share ideas. And there is this vast gulf between estate planning and long-term care planning. They are completely different worlds. And most people have done estate planning. They have a will or a trust, or that's great. You know, I'm glad that when you die, there won't be any probate. But what happens when the stroke fails? If the stroke succeeds, then estate planning is a great thing. If the stroke fails, it doesn't kill you, it just immobilizes you. You have a whole different set of issues. What have you done to take care of those issues? How have you empowered your spouse or your children to take care of those issues? Do your children know where your bank accounts are? Do they know where your brokerage accounts are? Do they have access to them? Are they going to be able to manage them? Are they going to be able to make care decisions for you? Are they going to be able to pick out the caregiver or the home? Are they going to be able to sign contracts? Are they going to be able to protect your home and your money or whatever else there is? I don't know the answer to that. You have to know the answer to that. Now, for some of you, you're blowing this off because you're just going to say, well, Bob, that's never going to happen to me. Okay, I can't help you. For those of you who are listening to this and saying, you know, I haven't done those things, then you need to get off the thing you're sitting on and make a phone call or go to my website, get to a seminar, a meeting, get to into my office, but get it done. Begin to make a difference in your life, in the life of your family. Begin to prepare for this. Don't be the people that have lost everything because it was never going to happen to them. Stop being naive about the issues of getting older and becoming more frail. You're going to become more frail. Your children are going to become more frail. From the age of 30 on, It's a downhill slide physically. There's nothing you can do about it. You will never be more healthy than you are today. Give me a call, 800-999-8007. Take action. Break inertia at rest. Get some movement going in your life and begin as a family or as a couple or whatever to begin to work on these issues. If you're dealing with somebody now, what are you waiting for? Are you still waiting for it to get better? 800-999-8007. Not only can you seek answers, you can get answers. That's why for 30 years, Assets and Aging has been the single best source of information on the issues of aging in California. Give me a call. Go to my website during the break, 800-999-8007, assetsandaging.com. We're going to take a little break so everybody can make some money at the station, which we love. And we'll be back here on Assets and Aging in just a few minutes. Stick around. There's more to come. Don't go away. Okay, we're back, and welcome back to Assets and Aging. Let me get you out some information. Don't forget you can always get a hold of me through my website, assetsandaging.com. You can call me at 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. You can email me at bob@assetsandaging.com. You can also do that through my website. If you go to my website, you can listen to my podcast live every Wednesday. You can listen to the archived radio shows and podcasts. You can send me an email. You can sign up for a workshop. You can do all kinds of things by simply either calling me or going to my website. Every Wednesday at noon, I do a podcast on a different subject. They're archived on my webpage. And you can listen to them on your iPhone or on your iPad or on your Samsung or on your computer or wherever. You can do that. You can sign up for an appointment. You can sign up for my free email newsletter. I'm getting ready to write one this week on some subjects I think are important. Such as some of this. Never mind. I don't want to go there, because I'll get in trouble. But there are some initiatives that dealing with Medi-Cal that, to say the least, are misleading and false. And I'll probably talk about those in the newsletter a little bit. If you really knew the story behind most of the initiatives on the ballot relating to Medi-Cal, you would be appalled. And who was behind them. So let's talk about, again, assetsandaging.com, my phone number, 800-999-8007. One of the chapters in one of my little mini chapters called Cleaning Out the Basement is going to be on the Elder Care Industrial Complex, and I want to talk about that for a little bit. It's why you need to be prepared, because one of the hardest things that people do when dad has a stroke or mom becomes incompetent or whatever it is, that mom falls and breaks her hip, is understanding the process of what you're going to go through, trying to find a place and wading through the regulations and all the stuff that goes on. You can't believe the stuff that goes on. You know, from the organizations that claim to care about seniors and all of that kind of stuff, but what they really do is sue nursing homes and sue people and sue caregivers and sue other people. It's an entire complex that makes a lot of money off of ignorance. Okay, so for instance, I had somebody call me the other day and they said, well, you know, you charge money to do. I talked to a nonprofit that'll do it for free. And I know the nonprofit they're talking. No, they don't. But they told them they would do it for free. What they didn't tell them is that the nonprofit won't charge anything, but they're going to refer it to somebody who is going to charge and who makes, and then they give a kickback to the nonprofit. So understanding all the little quid pro quos that go on in the long-term care, in the elder care industrial complex is important. But let me give you a quick story. There's a program called the Waiver Program. And believe it or not, it's a Medi-Cal program that in some cases, not all cases, but in some cases, will help pay for assisted living. Now, I don't want to get into all the details, and I don't want to get into the weeds, because there's only a few counties in California, major counties. Sacramento County is one of them. But the number of beds are limited, the qualifications are different. So I don't want to get into all of that. But there is a program called the Waiver Program. So a client called me last week, in fact, came into my office. Somebody, no, they weren't a client, they'd called and heard the radio show or something, or referred to me or whatever. And they came in and they said, well, my spouse was in a nursing home, and the nursing home said Medicare wouldn't pay anymore, and they kicked him out, and or told me I had to take it, you know, physically, and they put him in a boarding care, and the boarding care is costing me $4,200 a month, and I don't have it, and I'm here to apply for the waiver program because they told me they could apply for the waiver program. And I said, okay, that's the short story. So let's back up. The spouse went to a nursing home for rehab. They were in the hospital. They went to the nursing home for rehab. There are 6 activities of daily living. When rehab was over, there were still 5 that they couldn't do. The only activity of daily living they could do was feed themselves. They couldn't do anything else. They couldn't walk unassisted. They couldn't toilet unassisted. They couldn't transfer unassisted. They couldn't dress unassisted. They couldn't do any of the 5 of the 6 they couldn't do. But the nursing home said, oh, they're ready to go home. Now, why is that? Well, because they're in a rehab bed, a short-term bed. The nursing home is getting paid $700 to $900 a day for that bed. Need to understand this, folks. It's just about money. It's not good or bad. It's just the way the system works. It's one of the reasons why healthcare costs, you know, premiums in under the exchanges on average are going to go up 68% this year, or for 2017. And there's lots of reasons for that, but it's one of the reasons why care costs have almost tripled, doubled, I'm sorry, since Obamacare went into effect. But that's another story for another day. So Medicare is done paying. Medicare is not going to pay anymore for the spouse in the nursing home. So the nursing home says, we want him out. Let's use dad. We want dad out of here because Medicare is not paying us anymore. Well, I want to put it, well, you can't stay on Medi-Cal. We don't have any long-term care beds. You need to know that that's not true. He's in a bed. But nursing homes will say, look, you don't really want him in a nursing home. And the reason for that is they want to resell the bed. It's really simple. They want to resell the bed so they can make another $900 a day on another rehab patient. Nothing wrong with that, folks. It's an economic decision. But the family has no idea that this is going on. By the way, when are you going to hear this at a workshop? That's why you need to tell everybody about this radio show and make sure they listen. I know it's on early, but they can listen to it on my website. So they say, we'll assist you in finding, let me give you this care agency, and the care agency will find you a boarding care. Well, they now go to the care agency, the family goes to the care agency, and the care agency says, we're not going to charge you anything. Which they don't. So the care agency finds a boarding care. What the family doesn't know is that the care agency is getting paid anywhere from 1 to 2 months rent as a commission for sending dad to the boarding care, which raises the cost of the boarding care. So it's really not free. Mom and dad are still going to pay for it because the cost is higher for the boarding care because they've got to pay a commission to the free placement agency. Everybody's making money along the way here. That's nothing wrong with that. And then they're told that if you go to this boarding care, you'll be able to get dad on the waiver program and Medi-Cal will pay for the boarding care. So they put the person in the boarding care at $4,200 a month. They don't have that much money. They've got a little savings, but they're told they can get on the waiver program. They come to see me. So while we're sitting there, I call up the boarding care. And you have to understand, in the counties that do take the waiver program, folks, the number of beds are very limited. By the way, I know experts on the waiver program I can put you in touch with on finding beds. Also, the requirements, the financial requirements are very stringent for the waiver program. And so I actually call up the owner while they're sitting there of the boarding care, and I say, are you certified? Do you have certified beds under the waiver? But he said, no, but I could apply. I said, okay, thank you very much. And I looked at the family, and I said, this person doesn't even have waiver beds. And by the way, the county that you're in doesn't have a waiver program because it's not in every county. And they sat there in stunned silence because they're facing losing everything, because they were told that they could get a waiver bed by the nursing home. They were told by the boarding care that they could do a waiver bed. They were told all this stuff, made the move, money changed hands that they didn't know anything about. And at the end of the day, there is no waiver program in this facility. They have no waiver beds. And they're running out of money. And all of this started because the nursing home said, dad's ready to leave. Sorry, he can't stay here anymore. And the family didn't know that they had a choice. Now, I'd like to tell you that this is an isolated story, but it's not. I have heard it thousands and thousands and thousands of times. I was talking to an elder law attorney last night, and we were talking about this very issue. And he, like me, is in nursing homes a lot and said, Bob, it happens. I said, I know. It happens every day. It happens every day. Every elder law attorney that's ever been on my radio show will tell you it happens every day. And families don't know. In fact, one of the little mini chapters I'm doing in my upcoming book is called Know Your Rights in Care Facilities. Now, they're readily available in lots of other places, but you have to go. People don't know. Understand, when dad goes to the nursing home, nobody's thinking clearly. Why? Because it was never supposed to happen. It was never supposed to happen. It was never, we didn't plan. Remember, I'm not going to happen to me. And so the family is in total disarray. Guilt levels are high. Intra-family squabbles have begun. Mom is freaked out. The kids are freaked out. The very thought of all of this is overwhelming. And people don't think clearly. And people don't think clearly. And I'll give you an example. I've had people who died in nursing homes and had families say to me, why didn't, and other elder law attorneys have done this, and even though I'm not, but and say, why didn't you tell me dad could die in the nursing home? I didn't know he could die in the nursing home. And I'm thinking to myself, what? But that's the kind of unclear thinking. And it's nobody's fault, folks. We're not prepared for it. We haven't discussed it. We don't have a plan. And all of a sudden, this tidal wave of decision-making is overwhelming us. And people are telling us what to do and what not to do and what we should do and what we can do. And we don't know if it's right or wrong. We don't know. I've said this before. Kind of told this story, but I want to tell it. When my mom was dying, we found a board and care and hospice for her to be in. I think the owner was stunned at the number of questions I asked. He finally said, Why do you know all, and then I told him what I did for a living. And this was in Arizona. But the questions applied no matter where. When we were in the hospital, I asked the hospice care people lots. Do you know what hospice is? Do you know how it works? Do you really know, or do you think you know? Do you know what rights you have with hospice? Do you know what they're really going to do, and more importantly, what they're not going to do? Do you know what levels of care there are available in different kinds of facilities? Who's going to provide that care? Are there licensed people on duty 24 hours a day or not? What's their emergency plan? Is there an emergency plan to call 911, or do they have somebody there who's licensed to deal with emergencies? All kinds of questions are now being answered, and everybody are being forced to be answered because somebody has gone to the home, and we don't even know where to begin. It's why family conferences and information and pre-planning, and it's becoming more important all the time as the rules tighten, and it's just more important. Pre-planning is more important now than it ever has been. When I first started doing this 20-some years ago, you could wait until the day Dad had the stroke and went to the home. Those days are over. And I'm not talking about pre-planning for no probate or pre-planning who gets what I get when I die, what I have when I die. It's pre-planning for the Brownian motion that's going to begin when all of a sudden Dad needs to, or Mom needs a home, or all of a sudden Mom falls and breaks her hip and is in a home, and all of a sudden Mom can't take care of herself at home, or whatever it is. This family got passed off from person to person to person, all giving them incorrect information. They didn't know that. And in some cases, the incorrect information wasn't given on purpose. The person at the other end giving the information didn't know the right information. It's important that you have a plan, because when this happens, how many of you have ever taken somebody to a hospital because of an emergency? How many of you have ever been in an ambulance? How many of you have ever followed an ambulance to the hospital? What thoughts are racing through your mind? When you get to the hospital and you walk into that emergency room, if they'll let you, if you have the right documents, what's racing through your mind? Are you making always wise decisions? Are you making competent decisions? Or are you just taking direction from whatever who's sitting there tells you you need to do? Are you a participant in those decisions? Or are you just taking orders and doing what you're told? It's a really important question to ask, because the same question applies even in a greater, because an emergency room, you pretty much start to get resolution after a day or two. Either the person's going to die, they're going to come home, they need to stay in the hospital longer. Long-term care, the decision-making process can go on for years. But do you remember that feeling when you followed that ambulance, or when your husband said he had chest pains, or your wife or mom fell and broke her hip? Do you remember that feeling? Well, multiply that times about 5 years' worth. Because those are the kinds of decisions that you're going to have to make rapid fire. And you need to be informed. So understanding how the elder care industrial complex works, and how you can use it for your benefit. How do entitlements work? And how do you use them for your benefit? Entitlement means you're entitled to it. There are several. Medi-Cal is an entitlement. VA benefits are entitlement. If you meet certain requirements, you get it. Medicare is an entitlement. You get 65, you get Medicare. Do you know how to use them? Do you know what they pay for and what they don't pay for? Do you know how long-term care impacts all of the above? Do you know how long your finances will last? And who's going to have control over your finances if you need long-term care? Who's going to be making the decisions for you if you can't make the decisions for you? I don't know the answers for those for your family. And here's my bet, is most of you don't know the answers for your own family. Well, the good news is you can get the answers. How does it start? You get to a workshop, you call me up, you get in to see me. You follow this program, you sign up for my newsletter, you get informed. You begin to get off your rear ends and take steps forward to make sure that when this happens, how many of you, I'm going to ask you a really simple question. How many of you have advanced healthcare directives? Right? Don't raise your hand if you're driving, otherwise raise your hand. No, Bob, I have an advanced healthcare directive. Okay, is it springing or immediate? Well, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm not even going to define them. You better find out. Do your kids know where they are? Do your kids have copies? Because when they get the phone call that you've had the stroke and they go to the hospital and you're their agent, are they going to go rooting around in your house and try to find them? Do they know where they are? Do they know what they're empowered to do? If you can't come home, do they have the right to go to the bank and deal with your money? Are you sure? Do they have the right to choose the nursing home and sign a contract? Do they have the right to hire a caregiver and sign a contract? Do they have the right to figure out what is assisted living and sign a contract? Do they have the right to pay them? Do they have the right to protect what you own? I don't know the answers to all of that in your family. I know in my family, but I don't know in your family. Do you know? Do your kids know? If you're a blended family, how are you going to handle that? Blended family, by that I mean his kids, her kids, his assets, her assets. Are you alone and have nobody? You've never been married or your spouse died and you had no kids. You have no close family members. You know, you have a cousin that you send Christmas cards to, but you haven't seen them in 25 years. Your friends are all gone or they're in as bad a shape as you are. You have extra problems. What's the answer? When do you begin to have the conversation with yourself and with your family and someone who can help facilitate it to make sure that when we're following that ambulance, we're prepared for whatever comes? If it's death, we're prepared for that. If it's a short-term thing and we get to go home and recuperate, we're prepared for that. If it's a long-term recuperation or long-term care, we're prepared for that. Are you prepared financially? Do you know how your finances are really going to work and how you're going to use them for long-term care? Are you getting 0% on your money? Why? Do you know how many options there are? Have you explored those options? Do you know what they are? Do you know better ways to make sure you've provided for care? Does your family, do your kids know? Are your kids going to move in and live with you? Are you going to move in and live with them? Do you know? If you're going to pay them, is there a care contract in place? You don't know? You should. It's important that you understand how all of this works. Otherwise, just like the person that came in to see me and who come and the phone calls I get on a weekly basis, you can't believe the number of people who I've talked to who were, you know, we were in a nursing home. They said dad couldn't stay anymore. We got moved to an assisted living or a boarding care, and now we're paying $5,000 a month. And we find out Medi-Cal doesn't pay for boarding care or assisted living, and we can't afford it. We don't have that much. Mom's going to be bankrupt soon. How many of you have ever been involved or heard that conversation? I hear it every week. What's your plan for dealing with it? There has to be one. Okay, how do you make a plan? Well, first of all, admit that this could happen to you. Begin to live in the real world, not the fantasy world. Determine who are the responsible adults in the family. Determine who you want to be in charge. And then get in to see me and begin the conversation. 800-999-8007. Write it down. Tell your friend. Maybe we're not talking about you. Maybe we're talking about your brother or your sister or your best friend or one of your neighbors or somebody in your church group. By the way, I'll come and speak to any group or organization within reason for free. Maybe not in Eureka, but around here, I'll come and speak to any group or organization for free. So call me at 800-999-8007. Set up a free appointment. Get in to see me. Or go to my website, assetsandaging.com. ASSETSANDAGING. Assetsandaging.com. Sign up for a workshop. Set up an appointment. Sign up for my newsletter. Call me. But do something so that you don't become a victim of a system that I'm telling you right now. The medical system, medical care in this country used to be patient-oriented. It is now facility-oriented, business-oriented. And it's no different in the long-term care business. If it's a concern to you, call me, get started, make the decision, take the first step, begin to live in the real world so that when you're following that ambulance, you're going to know the questions to ask and the answers to look for. I appreciate y'all listening. Thank you for doing this every week. For those of you that are up early, boy, you're brave. Well, I love you a lot. And don't forget my podcasts and my webpage and my seminars. We'll look forward to seeing you here again next week, same time on the beautiful KFBK, same place, Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.